Tonight will be in Malachi. I want you to be here for that. We have some special things in our service tonight. See what kind of things. Come tonight and find out. Be here, 6:30 for the evening service. We're in Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to begin at verse 5. I'm going to read down through verse 13. I want you to follow along with me as I read Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for your word, the truths of it, and Lord, how it encourages and blesses us as we read it. Now we see this account you've given to us this morning, a miraculous healing by Jesus Christ. As we look to this account, might we see how these things can apply to us and the truths that we can glean from this. We know you've included it for a purpose. And God, help us to see that today. Bless each one here. Those who are struggling in their spiritual life, help them to be encouraged and strengthened. We do pray for any that are here without Christ. Again, our burden is to see people come to the Lord, to know the joys of salvation. Use me today. You know my need, Lord. I just present myself to you, wanting to be a tool and a vehicle, a vessel used by you. Help me in that. Bless in this matter, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this an amazing event or encounter and a miraculous result. An amazing encounter and a miraculous result. The text that we've read for today is an account of one of the miracles Jesus did during his 3.5 year ministry on the earth. And we know that in the four Gospels, we find these Gospels just filled with narrations about the miracles that Jesus did in that brief period of ministry that he had. Now, as we read about these miracles, we find each one to have its own story. Each has its own people that are involved in it. Each has its own plight that Jesus is confronted with as he deals with these people. Each has its own remedy given. And never forget this. Each one of those miracles has its own reason for God having included it in his revelation. You know, not all of Jesus' miracles are recorded for us in the Bible. Say, how do you know that? I read the Bible. See, John over in John chapter 21 and verse 25 closes his gospel with a notation about that very fact. He says this, John 20, 21. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, we understand these are not all the miracles Jesus did, but God has put certain ones in the Bible for his purposes and his plans. Now, the miracle that's before us today is one that is in many ways amazing. All miracles are, but this one, in some particular ways, is truly amazing. First, it's amazing because of who requests the miracle. A centurion. We'll talk a little more about that, but he's a Roman soldier, a military officer. It's also amazing in that this man came not seeking a miracle for himself, but he came seeking a miracle for a servant of his. I find it amazing that a Roman officer would value a servant so highly and have such compassion for a servant that he would come and ask the Lord to take care of the need. Thirdly, it's amazing in that this man's coming and seeking caused Jesus, the Bible says, to marvel. Think about that. His coming caused Jesus to marvel. And if you do some research, you'll find it more or less speaks of Jesus admiring him for having come. Now, this then is truly an amazing encounter. But more importantly, it ended with a miraculous result. One man comes with a burdened and a heavy heart due to the need of his servant. This Roman soldier is powerless to change the situation and is in need of divine intervention. So he comes to Christ. He comes at this point seeking help in his hour of need. He comes petitioning. He comes asking the one and the only one who can meet the need to intercede and to do for the servant what only Jesus could do. Now, I believe we can readily relate to this miracle. You see, we often find ourselves in need of divine intervention. We so very often face situations where we are powerless to remedy or to fix things. Thank God we too can come to the one with our burdens and petition him to intercede and grant the petitions we have. The things that we are powerless to fix, we can come and lay before him and ask him to intercede for us. Hold your place there in Matthew. I want you to look at a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. For many, a very familiar verse. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we see that we're told, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling or of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have one who cares. We have one who has suffered more than we could ever suffer." But then verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, this is our need today, and we can relate in many ways to this centurion who comes with a need that's beyond his ability to handle it, beyond his ability to take care of it. He brings it to the one who can and receives a miracle as a result. Now, I want to look at this miracle, and I want to see how each of us can obtain God's help in our time of need. Hebrews says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I want to look at this particular miracle and see some things about coming to this throne of grace and how we can come and receive the help that we need when we find ourselves in that position. We can find help in our time of need, number one, by confessing Christ as one Savior. You see, as we read the miracle, it's interesting, verses 5 and 6 there. "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion." Just kind of put that in your brain there. "Centurion, beseeching him, begging him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.'" Roman soldier, not just a soldier now, centurion. What that means is, He has a high position. He is the commander over 100 Roman soldiers who were stationed there at Capernaum. He's a man of authority. He's also a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile person, and he's not a proselyte. In no way is he deserving, so to speak, or have any ground to come to Jesus as far as the Jews are concerned. He's a Gentile. This man would be despised by the Jews. Remember, Jesus is a Jew. But where other Jews would have treated this man a whole lot differently, Jesus has love and compassion because Jesus loves everybody, not just the Jews. These Jews would want nothing to do with this man, socially or politically or religiously, if it was left up to them. It's much like the woman of Samaria, remember her? It's a miracle, it's amazing to us that Jesus would deal with her when we look from a Jewish aspect, but we're not. We're looking from the Savior's aspect. So it's amazing. But this man, this Roman soldier comes, and notice he calls Jesus Lord publicly. Now, we just read over that. We say, yeah, he called Jesus Lord. Wait a minute, let's stop and think about that and talk about that for a minute. When he comes and calls Jesus Lord publicly, there's a powerful statement involved there. Number one, he's acknowledging his faith in Christ as his Savior and Lord. When he calls him Lord, he don't call him Master, he don't call him Great One, he don't call him Prophet. Lord. And I believe he's indicating that he has already accepted Christ, that he knows who Christ is and has him in his heart and in his life. That's why he's coming to him. Now, his acknowledging is a powerful statement. He's acknowledging his faith in Christ as his Savior. And when he makes this acknowledgement, he does it publicly. And realize that's a dangerous situation. When he came there and he said, Lord, he's putting himself in a very precarious place because as a soldier, he could have lost his military career that fast. Not just that, he could have lost his life as a Roman soldier to do something like that. Oh my. But you know, when he does that, he's acknowledging Christ, I believe, as his Savior. And I believe he's also acknowledging that Christ is the authority over all things. He calls him Lord. Lord, he's saying, I know that all things are under your authority. And as a Roman soldier, he understood the authority structure or chain of command, if you will. He understood how it functions. And he understood that now this problem he had was under the authority of Jesus Christ because Jesus was the authority over everything. And you know, this man, I believe, also acknowledged it as Lord. All those who were under Jesus, so to speak, would have a need to be obedient to him as their Lord. And I want to say this. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he's supposed to be the Lord of your life. You say, well, yeah, I just said he's my Savior and Lord. Do you understand what's involved there? Savior saving you from hell and delivering your soul to eternal life. Lord as the master of your life. That now he's the authority. You're not the authority anymore. He is. He's the one who now makes the decisions and rules and reigns. He's the one now who's in control. So many Christians would readily acknowledge Christ as their Savior. Oh yes, I've trusted Jesus. I know Him. I've invited Him into my heart and my life and believed on Him for salvation. But when you ask Him, well, is He the Lord of your life? We're dealing with a whole different subject. But friend, He's supposed to be and ought to be the Lord of our life. You know, the centurion had to meet certain requirements, so to speak, to seek the help of Jesus. You see, he came, and I believe he's a believer, and that's why he could come seeking the help of the Lord and accepting him. And if we're going to come to the Lord and want him to intercede in our situations where we're powerless, the first and foremost thing is we've got to know him as our Savior. We read in Hebrews that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace. That invitation is to save people. Hello? That's not to everybody in the world to come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly because we have the blood of Jesus Christ who has paid that way for us and was shed for our sins. And now we're the children of God. And as his children, we can come boldly to our Father. The unsaved crowd can't do that. And so we need to understand this Gentile centurion met the requirement of being one of God's so that he could hear and answer his prayer. If we seek and need God's help in our time of need, number one, we've got to confess Christ as our Savior. Listen, friend, if you want to have a power in prayer with God, if you want to be able to reach God with your prayers, you've got to know him as your Savior. Number two, we can find help in our times of need by carrying our burden to Christ. Notice in verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Here the centurion reveals he has a burdened, heavy heart. And his heart was heavy because his servant is grievously ill. We don't really know what this sickness was. It says the palsy, which could cover a lot of ground. But we know this, his servant was suffering from it. He mentions that he's tormented. And the situation here is that the situation of his servant got a hold of the centurion's heart. I believe it's another indication of his salvation. You know, when people know the Lord, we have tender hearts towards people. It changes our attitude about people. And normally a Roman centurion like that wouldn't care one lick about a servant, whether he was sick or well. But this man was. And he has this burdened heart. This burden had touched him, and the centurion knew he couldn't do anything about it, so he wants to come to the one who can. And so he brings this burden to the one who could help him. And here's some things about when he came. Notice the centurion took time out of his busy schedule to come in behalf of somebody else. Amen. Think about this. Do you think that man had a lot of responsibility? Do you think he had a lot on his plate, on his schedule? I believe he did. But we find here, he put everything aside and he took time from that schedule to come to help somebody else and to bring this burden to the one who could help. He took the time. He risked a lot. As I said, he risked his position as a soldier, and I believe he may well have even risked his own life coming on behalf of somebody else. And he demonstrated the deep concern he had by what he did. You know, Christians often have heavy burdens that we're powerless to handle. And probably everybody in this room, if I came around, said, do you have any burdens in your life? I mean, things heavy on your heart that you absolutely cannot do anything about. Do you have any of those? I would imagine everybody in here said, yeah, I got one or two or a dozen or so. I'm talking about family problems, or maybe wayward and rebellious children, or marital problems, or financial burdens, or, you know, where there's pay cuts and layoffs that people are suffering today and job loss. Maybe it's physical needs of food or an automobile or housing or whatever. And just about everybody here can say, hey, I've got burdens in my life that I can't do anything about. Well, thank God we have somebody who can do something about it. But here's one of the keys. We've got to take our burdens to him. Through intercessory prayer, We need to bring things to the one who's able to do what we cannot do. We need to bring things to the Lord like, Lord, these people are sick. Please, won't you heal them? Give their doctors wisdom in dealing with their situation. Pray for them and ask God to help in their time of need. People who are sick, Lord, save the lost. I have loved ones who aren't saved. And please keep the gospel witness. Provide for the needy. Repair the relationships that need repair. All of these things are things we can't do anything about, but we can bring them to Him. And until we do, we're not going to see Him acting in our behalf. Jesus said, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In Luke 18, we're told about the woman who kept coming, and the chapter starts there with Jesus taught this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What I want you to see in what I'm discussing right now is we need to take it to the Lord. Most of us have figured out as believers, God never promised us a trouble-free life. God never said our lives would be free of burdens and things that we cannot do anything about. He has told us, however, to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. We have been told, we read it in Hebrews, where He says, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in your time of need. In James, we're told the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to bring our burden to Him. Number three, we can find help in our time of need by casting ourselves upon the Lord and His grace. You know, this centurion, when he came, it's so interesting how he confesses his unworthiness. This is a guy who has a position. In his realm, he's somebody. I mean, when he walked by, the soldiers saluted. When he said jump, they said how high on the way up. This guy was somebody in his realm. Now he's in the realm of the Lord, and he recognizes his unworthiness of anything from Jesus. The language is interesting. It says it beseeched him. You know, that basically he begged him. He's a Gentile, not of Jewish heritage, not even a proselyte. He was a Roman soldier. With no doubt, as a Roman soldier, he knows the great wickedness that was in his life before he came to Christ. Think about the life of a soldier. One who has no salvation experience, think about the wickedness. And now he's coming to the Savior, needing something from Jesus. He knew how the Jews in general felt about him. When Jesus said he would come to his house, he said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come. You know, he understood it to the Jews. The Jews would never go in a Gentile's house. He understood that. But he confessed his need here. He confessed his need of grace. That's what he's doing here. When he says, I'm unworthy, he's saying, whatever you do for me, I can't deserve any of it. It's got to be by your grace. In other words, undeserved favor. He needed grace. There was nothing about him that deserved for Jesus to do this for him. There was nothing he could do to earn this from Jesus. He couldn't go win a great battle to get this from Jesus. He couldn't go get a bunch of money and bring it to get it. If this was going to happen, it would have to be totally by the grace of the Lord. Totally undeserved. And you know, I thought about that, and when we come, we need to learn to come to the Lord, casting ourselves on His grace. Understanding and noting that we don't deserve anything from Him. God is not beholden to us in any way. We need to understand in reality in ourselves, we're not worthy to be heard of Him. But by His grace we can be. Not worthy to be saved by God. Not worthy for God to hear our petitions and answer our prayers. But we have a promise. In Hebrews it says to come to Him, come boldly to the throne of grace that we could find help from in our time of need. Grace to help. As unworthy and undeserving as we are, our Heavenly Father tells us there's grace available. I think about that woman taken in adultery. Remember the story? John chapter 8, those men, the Pharisees, bring this woman to Jesus and throw her down at His feet. Master, this woman is an adulteress. We caught her in the very act. What do you think we should do with her? And the law said she should be stoned to death. That's what Moses' law said. What should we do with her? They were trying to catch Jesus in something. If He let her off, they were going to say, see, He broke the law. If He said we ought to kill her, He said, see, He shows no grace. This Bible says Jesus knelt down, He put His finger in the sand. We believe He wrote something, but we don't know what He wrote. Many believe He wrote the sins of the men who were making the accusation. Because He knew what they had done. And then He said to them, let the one without sin cast the first stone. And he said He went back to writing. And when He looked up again, they were all gone. He said, hey, where's your accuser? She said, oh, no man accuses me now. And here's what He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Grace. And listen, when we come to God, we need to understand anything, everything He does for us and we receive for Him totally by His grace. We don't deserve any of it. If we get what we deserve, we'll burn in hell. You see, it's sad. Far too many Christians act as though God has to hear them in their requests. God don't have to hear you. He does so by grace. So many come as if God owes them something. He don't owe us anything. And we need to come to that throne of grace with the idea we are unworthy. But we have a God who's showing us grace. And then finally, if we're going to find help, we do so by confirming our faith. Verses 8 through 10. And when Jesus heard it, heard what? What this soldier testified about the authority of Jesus. He marveled. He said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not, you know what he's saying? Not in Israel. He's saying this Gentile has more faith than you Jews. This Gentile has more trust and believe in me and my authority and my power than a lot of the Jews do after they've seen all that God has done for them through Moses and all the miracles that God has done for them through the years. And he marvels. He's amazed. But we find here in what's said that the centurion confirms his faith. He says to Jesus, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say, and he tells him about this, and he says, what he's saying is, I understand, I have the faith that if you just say, my servant will be healed, it's going to happen. Though the servant's not here and he's got a sickness that you may not even know firsthand, you're not there with him. I have the faith to believe if you just say it, he's going to be healed. He had faith in the word of Christ and his actions confirmed that. And you see, faith is required for receiving God's help. If we're going to come and seek the help of the Lord, we've got to come by faith believing that He can do this. He's going to hear my prayer. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God or please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. James tells us that we're to come by faith, nothing wavering, he says. If we're going to come and ask God to do what we cannot do for ourselves, to do that which is beyond our capabilities, we have to come believing He can. Think about Peter when he said, Lord, if Thou bid me that I could come to You. Peter apparently believed that Jesus could have him walk on the water, or he wouldn't have asked. And in response, Jesus granted his request because he came by faith. Why didn't the other 11 get out of the boat? You ever think about that? There were 12 of them there. How come the other guys didn't walk on water? Because Peter was the only one that called to Jesus, believing that if Jesus said it, he could do it. Got to have faith. See, faith is required for salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. Listen, friend, the only way you can get saved is have faith that what Jesus did on Calvary is sufficient for your salvation and the only way of your salvation, and put your faith in it. You can't have faith in your religion. You can't have faith in your good works. You can't have faith that you got baptized. You got to have faith in the One who atoned for our sins and God's method of salvation. Otherwise, you can't be saved. Well, I'm trusting Jesus and my good works. No, it don't work that way. It's either or. You either trust Jesus or you put your faith in your good works and go to hell. Faith is required for salvation. Faith is required for answered prayer. Nothing wavering. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. Nothing wavering. You know, when we come and ask for things we don't believe He's going to do or can do, we might as well talk to the ceiling. And something else very interesting. This man had faith in God's Word. He had faith in just the Word of Jesus Christ. He realized and recognized the power of the Word of God. Have you realized the power of the Word of God? Do you realize that God spoke everything into existence? Do you realize all God has to do is speak and it happens? This man did. He said, you don't have to come. All you got to do is speak. Your Word is powerful. And I want to tell you, we still have His Word today, and it's just as powerful today as it was then. The Bible? Yeah, this is the Word of God. And I want to tell you, in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This thing has power. Thank God for it. Faith in the power of the Word of God. Hey, I got friends that are unsaved. Give them the Word of God. Hey, people need to come to Christ. Give them the Word of God. This is what will save people. It's also what will change lives. This book. I got saved, got in this book, and God turned my life around. I got saved, I want to know, how do you live for God? Now, where are you going to find that out? See, a lot of people say, well, I got to go to church so the priest or the pope or the potentate or whoever it is up there can tell me how to live for God. No. It's right here. God tells you how to live for Him. And He does so right in His Word. This man had faith in the power of the Word of God. Believers must, by faith, learn to bring their petitions to God. You know, sometimes we fall into this. God already knows my burden. God already knows what's heavy on my heart. He knows everything. That's all true. But He still says, come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. He still says ask. He still says seek. He still says knock. He says that men ought not to, ought to pray and not to faint. He says that we shouldn't worry over there in Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving. Listen, friend, God knows, but He tells us when we have those burdens, we must bring them to Him. That's what this man did. He didn't sit at home and say, boy, my servant's sick. I wish the Lord would heal him. He took it to the Lord. And that's what we need to learn to do. Listen, so many times we carry the burden ourselves. And I'm just as guilty as you are. We have burdens and things, and instead of bringing them to the throne of grace and laying them at God's feet and asking God to intercede, and God, you know, we just kind of carry them around. It gets kind of heavy, doesn't it? He says, casting all your care upon me because I care for you. That's what we're supposed to do. This man brought his burden to the Lord, to the one who could handle it, to the one who could do something about it. And we need to learn to do that. Look, I don't know about you, but I like to see miracles. You've seen miracles? Yeah, we all have. We see God doing things that are just sometimes beyond our belief. And we say, wow, God did that. And then we forget about it. We've seen people healed as a result of prayer. We've seen God meet financial needs as a result of prayer. That's all miraculous. Amazing that, you know, I'm thinking about Amanda needing $3,000 a month ago. And somebody announced in prayer meeting, you know, Amanda needs $3,000 to stay on the mission field. Within a week, somebody brought $3,000. Why was that? Because some people went to God in prayer and said, hey, there's a need here. And that's what we have to learn to do. If we want to see the miraculous happen, we have to take the need to the one who does the miracle. We see an amazing encounter here. One we would consider to be the least likely, first of all, to accept Christ as his Savior, and then to come petitioning him publicly for help in his time of need is amazing. And then we see a miraculous result. Jesus responds to this one in a miraculous way based upon this man's faith in Christ. And he meets the need. This morning we've seen in Hebrews that we all have an invitation to come to Him. Unsaved person, you have an invitation to come to God. You said that was only for saved people. But you have an invitation to come to God to get saved. God has invited everybody and anybody to come to Him and trust Him for salvation and become His child. You have that opportunity today. You could come to Christ today. How do I do that? We're going to give an invitation in a few minutes. If you will come, I'll meet you here and we'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Show you how you can know you have eternal life and be a child of God. And now that throne of grace will be open to you. By the way, it never closes. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, from now until we go to heaven. He's always available. I saw on the news the other day, all these stores are planning on closing for a while on Thanksgiving and then opening up, you know. And if you go down there at certain hours, there's nobody going to be there. They're closed. You can't get anything. You have to wait till they're ready. Not so with God. 24 hours a day, every day, He's available to every saved person. If you're His child, you have His ear. We need to take advantage of that. We need to bring our burdens to Him. We need to bombard the throne of grace with those burdens of things we can't change, we can't do anything about, but we know He can. And trust Him for the outcome, just like this man did. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. I want to ask this question, and we're not going to get personal about it, but I want to ask this general question. How many in this room would say, "Preacher, I have burdens on my heart that I can't do anything about. I have situations and needs that they're out of my control. I cannot fix it." And this morning, I just need to lay these on God, and I need to come to Him, and I need to realize if it's His will, He can fix it. And I need to unburden these things from me and lay them before the Master's feet as His child. Now I'm saved. I'm coming before the throne of grace, and I'm realizing this is what I need to be doing with these burdens that I have. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I need miracles, and I need to learn to bring them to Him and seek Him for the miraculous. I need to have faith. God, help me to have greater faith. You can put it down. Now let me ask this question. Are you God's child? Well, I thought everybody was. No. Only saved people. The only way to be a child of God is to get born into His family by being born again. By trusting Jesus as your Savior. By coming to that place where you say, it's not religion and it's not my good works. I need Jesus. He paid the price for me. I'm putting my faith in Him to take me to heaven when I die and cleanse me of my sin. I wonder if there's some folks in here this morning say, "Preacher, you know, I've never done that. I don't have any assurance that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to know." Here's my hand. Would you slip it up? Slip it up high. I won't call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. That's me, preacher. I need to get saved today. Let's stand together. Father, bless this invitation. You know the needs of the folks here. Many of us, desperate need of miraculous moving by You. Situations where we cannot fix it. And we bring it to You and petition You by faith, believing You're able. God, help the folks who raised their hand to bring those petitions and lay them before You today. And to learn to come boldly to that throne of grace every day. Boldly to that throne of grace, committing these things to Jesus and what He can do. Trusting. And then for that one who's here without Christ, that they might come today and be saved. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Song number 489. God spoke your heart today. We're going to sing. Will you come?